Good morning, and it is wonderful to be here with you this morning. Last week, as you're probably aware, most of you, we started a new sermon series on creation and social justice. And I want to share with you a personal story, which I think highlights this subject that we're thinking about. I apologize to those who were at Thursday morning communion, because they've heard this story. It won't be verbatim, I promise you, but I do think it's very important to share it with everyone. So, a few years ago, amongst a very busy time, I was asked by our church if I could do some baking for them, for their cream teas. Well, for those of you that know me, baking's not my thing. I love cooking. I love cooking for dinner parties, things like that, but not baking. I'm one of those cooks who throws everything in. I do not like measuring out, making sure the oven's on, and all those things have disastrous results if you're baking. So anyway, I was asked, but I could hear myself saying and nodding yes, I would do it, and I'm thinking, no, Nadine. Anyway, I set this day aside, dropped Nick and Liddy at school, dashed home, set to. Put the oven on, started weighing everything, and actually, do you know what? I had a great time. I had the radio on, and I really enjoyed it. At the end of the day, I stood back, and actually, I thought, you've created some not bad stuff there. There was, on our table, a lovely array of bacon. This isn't mine, okay? But I did have a lovely Victoria sandwich, chocolate cakes, scones, and I looked at it and I thought, it was well worth it. Not bad. Suddenly looked at my watch and I thought, oh no, Nick and Lydia are actually coming out of school. I need to go. So I rushed into the hall, put my shoes on, put my coat on. Dogs, quick, Nadine, get the dogs into the utility, back into the kitchen. You'll never believe it. Molly, it's quite dark, but this is our old dog. She had her paws up on the table. She'd already had a third of the Victoria sandwich. She had eaten numerous scones as well. I was fuming. I was so angry. I was so cross, and I was also really upset. I'd spent hours and hours creating what turned out to be not, well, I don't know if they tasted, because we couldn't taste them. I had to do it all over again. But I'd spent all that time baking. So I did feel very angry with her and very upset with her. Now, I'm sure most of you here will have a story like that, where you have spent time creating something, and then someone or something, may not be purposefully, probably isn't, but has damaged it. Just take a moment. How would you feel? How would you feel? All your time, energy, and love. Probably a bit like me, angry and upset. So how must God feel about the world, his creation that he created? How do you think he feels? We have certainly done a lot of damage to our world. And he must feel angry and upset. So, this morning, I want us to make a start, make amends, and start putting this world back together again. Now, how are we going to do this? Let's see what we can learn from our readings this morning. In our Luke reading, we've just heard, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, I guess we all too easily fall prey to the temptation to view spirituality as a separate and optional part of being human. And that's not what our reading this morning is showing us. It clearly stresses that this is not God's way. What we believe will and does affect how we live. If we believe money is of greatest value, then it will become fairly evident that that is what drives us. Again, if we believe this life is all we have, then again, it will shape the way we live. Our Christian faith, though, asks us to be shaped by what we believe. Let's just look at what Jesus is preaching here in Luke, to proclaim good news to the poor. That's the actual poor, those with not enough money to live properly. He goes on to say, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. That's actual prisoners, people whom we perhaps can't cope with, maybe people who are in prison unjustly, in our society and other parts of the world. And recovery of sight for the blind. Now, yes, that could be surgery, it could be medicine, but I believe it could also be down-to-earth practical help. To set the oppressed free, that's the minority. People who are different and not accepted because of it. People we can't understand. How about the way we treat people with mental illness? And then to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, to remember each and every person has been forgiven. Now, of all the texts available to Jesus, he chose this description of his mission, to bring the good news to the poor, to give sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free. As we reflect on Jesus' own understanding of his mission, let's look at our world as we struggle with so many social issues. The welcome of refugees and migrants to our countries and communities. The growing inequality between those who have and those who have not. And the destruction of the environment. What is God instructing us to do? Before we go any further, let's just clarify what we mean by environmental justice. When we think about the environment, our mind might conjure up pictures like this: a meandering river, a beautiful, peaceful woodland, and the most amazing, stunning mountain range. However, a broader definition of environment would also include our home, our places of work, our schools, our parks. They play a huge role in our overall health, happiness, and well-being. Now, examples of environmental burdens that may come under the phrase environmental justice cover many aspects of life. For instance, healthy food, certain communities, particularly lower income or minority communities, struggle to have healthy food. Air and water pollution are major, major environmental justice issues. Because again, many lower income or minority communities are located near industrial plant or waste disposal sites. And the air and water quality can suffer if it's not properly monitored. God's word talks of living in harmony with the land and calls for justice so that all people can have secure food and water supplies. Throughout the Bible, we read of God showing his care for people by providing food and sharing food. This is all very central to Jesus' ministry. So we need to act out our faith. We need to make the world a better place because of what we believe. We certainly need the good works, but these good works need to be driven by a loving relationship with God. And that, in other words, means a loving relationship with each other. What I'm saying is that doing what we believe should never spring out of duty. It should come from a deep honouring of one another. And that is fueled by the love we have received and continue to receive from God. So, as I said at the beginning, let's get on with fixing this world. Now, I strongly, strongly believe if we all do one thing, what a difference that would make to our world. I therefore would like you to think about these next two questions. When thinking about environmental justice, what's on your heart? When thinking about environmental justice, what's on your heart? What do you think God is asking you to do? So I think we need to pray about this, reflect on it, and when we know the answer to these questions, let's put our faith into action with love. Amen. Let us pray. Loving Lord, we thank you for your loving care for your people and all creation. Forgive us when we have failed to seek justice and allowed others to go hungry. Forgive us when we have damaged creation and created further poverty and hunger. Give us a hunger for justice so that all may live in harmony with the land, with food, dignity, and justice for all. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.